Hello and welcome to Grumpy Old Teachers. Happy New Year. How are you doing? It's 2021.
We've got 2 hours to go, John.
Oh, we've got 2 hours to go. I am iPad Sammy, otherwise known as John Samuelson on the Twitters. And to my southern point is my grumpy teacher and partner in crime, and his name is?
PowerPoint Scott.
PowerPoint Scott Bedley. That's his new Twitter moniker. You can look him up at PowerPointScott.com. I wonder if that would be enough, if that's too many initials, PowerPoint Scott. I think you could fit that, actually.
Maybe.
I wonder if PowerPoint Scott's taken. I'm going to look that up during the show.
Or should I go Windows Scott?
Windows. I was looking at some kind of like graphic. I like to look at like the graphics on, I'm always fascinated with Reddit, right? But I have one that's like, it's like, I forget what it's called, like data exploration or showing data. And they had one for like the operating systems and just like it would move and it's all this animation of like just going through the year each month of which operating system. And you're like, oh, I forgot about Windows XP. I love Windows XP, you know?
Remember you'd have to wait for the box and go down to the store. You're like, I got the newest version, and then install it. And then,
oh my gosh, I know. It's so funny how things have changed now. I think I upgraded to Big Sur now on my Mac. So it seemed like it's nice. It took away my screensaver. So I don't know. It's put in a nice one. And I've kind of kept it. Maybe I needed a screensaver change. I just didn't know it, you know?
I tried to upgrade my Mac to Big Sur, and it completely crashed my Zoom, and I couldn't get it. They had to re-image my entire computer, so I was like, it was a nightmare.
Yeah, sometimes that can be a thing, right? Well, here on Grumpy Old Teachers, formerly Techlandia, formerly whatever, I think this is going to be our last episode for sure that we'll put on the old regular feed, and then I'll start to move it over to Anchor. For the new year. We'll start fresh for the new year. Anyway, we're taping on Sundays. I am a fifth grade teacher. Scott is a fourth grade teacher. And we like education, even though we're grumpy, right? We're old and grumpy, but we like education, correct? Sometimes.
Between us, we're over 100 years old, John.
That's because combine us. I know. I wonder if we combine our experience, we've got over 50 years of experience teaching, I'm sure, right? Absolutely. Way over. All right. So we're going to give you two cool things, apps or websites. We're going to give you a good thing, but then we're going to rant. And then we like to talk about life stuff too. We don't like to be all educational sometimes. We don't like to be all education all the time. It doesn't define who we are. It's not who we are. We're much more than that, you know?
Speak for yourself, John.
That's right. Scott likes to make, stuff out of Tinker Toys. It's nothing wrong with that. I like to play with Playmobil sets from the early 80s. It's okay. That's our hobby. We like to do those things. So anyway, here we go. I'm going to give you this one. So I've been giving a lot of coding stuff in the past couple episodes. And I wanted to just do something different, kind of related to Global School Play Day. I thought it was something cool that you could introduce, especially if you're still teaching online this year, which is called the Chrome Music Lab. And I think if you just type in ChromeMusicLab.com, or it's from Google, I think if you just type in Chrome Music Lab, you'll find it. And it's just got some different experiments and musical things, and they can just click on there's a ton of different boxes on the website. It's got like a virtual piano. It's got all sorts of things. And I think it's just fun to be like, if you're trying to get your students in the habit of, you're not going to give them directions, you just want them to explore things and then report back to you, which is kind of the way I like to do my technology. And it's even called like chromeexperiments.com. I think it's called musicchromelabexperiments.com. But it's really cool. I know Scott's used it. You've used it, right?
Yeah, that's a great. It's, you know, it's cool because the kids can record and then download and use it in their own videos and things like that when they do make the music.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. It's just something cool to try. I think that's one of the things I'm going to try this year. Is I think when I'm doing my online teaching, I am just going to have some stuff that I just introduce and let them goof around. Maybe I open a Zoom and maybe I let them go into breakout rooms and just go. Scott, have you ever found, so you do a lot of breakout rooms on Zoom, Scott?
Absolutely.
So I found that there's either two things, like I always think the students are going to keep their cameras open, but number two, like keep their microphones open too, right? And sometimes I'll come in and they'll all have their cameras open, but their microphones will all be off because they're like respecting each other's like creativity time, which I think is really interesting. And then some of them I'll go in and it's just like nonstop gabbing. And then others I'll go in and they've got both turned off. It's such a hodgepodge. I can't figure it out. And right, I just do them randomly. So it's just so funny the differences in breakout rooms as we go on teaching in 2021 now, you know?
Yeah, I feel like it you end up with the same kind of experience that you would live if you put groups together randomly, right? So I remember in the classroom, I put together groups randomly and, you know, some groups are working great. Some groups are not talking to each other at all. Some groups are kind of doing their own thing, but they're sitting next to each other.
Right.
And so just some groups are completely off task. And so I find it's just the same, except for now they can completely turn the other person completely off and out of their world and then head over to Roblox like all good kids do.
Yeah, I know, it's funny. I never thought of it that way, that it is kind of how it is in real life, in person. I just think I've forgotten in person. I don't know what it's like to be in person anymore. I know it hasn't been that long. March 13th, the last time I was in person, I can remember it.
No, John, my son and I were talking about, we're almost to the point where we forget what it was like to be live. Like we're almost, I mean, we don't forget it completely, mm-hmm. But we've been doing this for so long. This has become, you know, like the new norm. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's almost been that long.
Yeah. And then if this was PD, if you said the new norm, would you try and find a picture of George Wendt from Cheers and then slim it down? Because that was always the thing. Here's our norms for, you know, our PD. And then they show a picture of Norm. And I'm just like, there's some teachers that don't even know what Cheers is. You know, they really don't. We're that old now. You know, let's stop with the norms.
I started thinking like, you know, there's going to be as much of an adjustment as there was for the kids going online. There's going to be another adjustment period once we're able to, knock on wood, go back to what was the norm and back into the classrooms on a regular basis. There's going to be a period of where kids need to adapt. And that's when global school play day like activities, where the kids just get to interact and remember how to interact with live other people, other kids, is going to be like, it's going to be number one vital, most important thing to do for sure.
I've thought about that. It's going to be interesting. I just think about it, you know, with my own kids as I sit there, and I know that some of them are really craving to get back, but yeah, I'm like, it's going to be an adjustment when we get back too. It'll be interesting. I hope we can. I hope everything works out. And this year that actually happens at some point. I kind of have a rant related to this in a little bit too. So John, I'll save that for later. Scott, what were you going to say?
Oh, no, I just had a question for you. If you were to rate that tool, the Chrome Music Lab, on a scale of like low hanging fruit to step stool to like extension ladder, as far as difficulty, like where does that tool rank on that ladder scale that I just made up in my head?
I like that ladder. I think that if you're a teacher that's not very comfortable with technology, right, and I kind of still like technology, I think it's just low-hanging fruit. I think it's just something you could introduce. I think it's something you would also, I think you could just give them that website. If I was on there, I'd put the link in, put them into breakout rooms, and I might just go into the breakout rooms and just try the different things and then have the kids come back and share it. So I think it's really low hanging fruit. I don't think it takes a lot of prep time. I think it's something fun that they could do that would keep them entertained for about 20 to 25 minutes, you know, after you introduce it. So I think it'd be a good, nice little half hour to start the year and just be like, we're going to explore things and I'm not going to give you directions. I want you to kind of, you know, figure out stuff on your own and then come back into the room when the breakout rooms are closed and, you know, just show us something cool that you did. I think that it's low hanging fruit.
John, I love that you're giving things that are used tomorrows.
Yeah, I really saw, I was looking at that and I'm just like, yeah, I should just do this tomorrow. I really should. I'll probably end up doing it on Tuesday. I have a teacher actually come in and teach Spanish on Mondays. So what? Mondays are kind of an easy day for me. I'm not going to, you know, knock on wood, but I kind of like Mondays. And then Thursdays we have an art teacher that comes in, so I can knock out one of my online things too. So it's kind of, Mondays and Thursdays are kind of nice days for me.
I don't know. What's your Zoom link for the Spanish lesson?
You want to go? Yeah, I should. She's actually a teacher at our online school. She's super. So is the art. The art stuff's pretty cool too. I think that's cool. That's what we started. I mean, I'm my own PE teacher, so that's kind of, you know. Do you have to teach PE, Scott?
I have to assign PE.
Okay. That's kind of right. Like, that's
why you actually know if they're doing it or not. And so our PE specialist, district PE specialist, who, by the way, Terrence is our PE district specialist. He's awesome. Great guy. He put together plans for every single week of the school year and has PDFs, has directions on how to do all the activities. I mean, he poured so much work into this, like massive props to him for doing this, because it's nice just to be able to push that out.
It is nice. I know. I think of, right, I guess I'm not really the PE teacher as much as I'm in charge of. I get some cool little videos back of them exercising though, which I really do enjoy. I'm going to give a shout out right now. It's just totally off the top of my head. One of my old coworkers by the name of Matt Head, he's one old kid on Twitter, but he has amassed a huge following on TikTok, and he does exercises for students every single, he loves PE. He was a technology person and he was a PE teacher that loved technology, got dabbled a little bit, and now he's back doing PE, and I think he just loves it. And I think he has over 100,000 followers on TikTok now. One old kid. And do you remember Matt? Don't you remember?
Yeah, I love Matt.
Yeah, he's awesome. So if you get a chance, check out one old, he's got to be one old kid on TikTok. And if he isn't, he's Matt Head, just like it sounds.
So, or look him up on Twitter and then DM him.
Yeah, look him up on Twitter and DM. He's always very, he loves to share stuff. He's just one of those good, wholesome people. And I can tell you right now from having worked with him for a year that he's not a person that seeks edufame or anything. So he's not really out there like pumping it up and going, here, look at my videos on TikTok.
You gotta start selling ads on that though.
That's a natural 100K, I'm telling you. That's people finding it and sharing it when he's not doing it. So
John, in recent news, I'm up to 10 followers on Periscope.
There you go. I know. You know what? In 2021, I'm, you know, rest in peace, Periscope. I loved you. I still am one of the few users of Periscope, but rest in peace, Periscope, come March, because I don't know. I always kind of like the old Periscope, but if Periscope gets used by Twitter, and I mean, now they're just naturally bringing it in, right? So it's not really gone, but I don't know. Kind of, you know, I don't know. It's interesting how these things come and go. Periscope. I don't think I have 10
followers. Baby, Periscope EDU.
Periscope EDU, yeah, there we go. Anyway, everything
TikTok EDU, is there? I'm sure there's TikTok EDU, right?
I don't know. I'd have to look. I don't have TikTok because I feel like it really spies on everything you do. So I don't want to be really spied on. I just want to be kind of spied on, like I am, right? You know,
you just only want your phone listening to you.
That's right.
Everything, like delving into all your.
It was funny the other day because we sat there and my wife Marnie said, hey, did you see so-and-so's something on Facebook? And I said, oh no, I missed that. And I opened up Facebook the next time and it was right at the top of my feed. And I was like, yeah, thanks. Thanks for listening, Zuckerberg. I love you. Oh, geez.
Anyway. Hey, you'd think we had something interesting to listen to.
I know, right? I have nothing interesting. Hey, Scott, give us your website. I think it looks cool.
Yeah, John. So this is, okay. So back when we started all this distance learning, you start to think like, oh man, I wish I had an actual virtual classroom, like where the kids could walk around with their own, you know, characters, they could design them.
Like Second Life.
Yeah. Like Second Life. But I can design the classroom atmosphere. I can design what they can interact with.
That's Bitmoji Classroom. You just described Bitmoji Classroom.
Yes, But Bitmoji Classroom is super, right?
Bitmoji I was kidding, by the way.
It's super static, right? It's right. I can get my like different like Christmas sweater on and then pose myself in there. But inside framevr.io, frame, F-R-A-M-E,
VR.io,
I actually have a virtual classroom that my kids can join. And it's almost like a slide deck in a sense, mm-hmm. because you can add different layers to it, which are like three-dimensional classroom type settings. But it's not meant for classrooms, but it can be used for classrooms. So there's like an outdoor amphitheater. There's like an indoor art gallery. There's a business office. There's like a coffee shop kind of a space. There's like all these different spaces that you can choose from as your kind of space that you're going to design. But then you can almost like you can in kind of like a Roblox type of game or Minecraft, you can set screens. I can broadcast myself into that classroom. The kids can join and make their own little I'm totally blanking on the term for their little character that rolls around, and I'm sure somebody's yelling it at their device right now.
Their avatar?
Their avatar, yeah. Duh. Hello. Okay. They can make their own little avatar. And John, their avatar can come with their video next to them. So you can actually see them walking around the room with their little video. They've designed their own avatar. And so you can have on the wall over here a linked picture that takes them out to something to learn about, whether it's animals or whatever level, but the kids get to walk around. Now there's one big limitation. It's maximum 20 people in a classroom frame or a frame right now. And so that's one of the biggest limitations that I see for.
Is that at the same time or could you do your class in like stages then?
You could do multiple. And so you could have like A and B, okay. and you can make a copy, but it's really, when I first learned about it, I probably spent two, three hours just playing with it. It's very intuitive. You can pull pictures off of Google or the internet. You can pull links off really easily and implant them. There's an interactive whiteboard that you can allow your kids to interact on inside there. It's really what, if you were asking me, 9 months ago, what would you want a virtual classroom to be like? It's not like a Zoom. It would be, in my mind, it would be like Minecraft-y, like almost like the kids are their little avatars because that is so engaging for them. And so, and that's the way this is. Framevr.io is that you can create that inside of these settings that they have called frames.
That sounds cool. I think I remember something like that before. It's like you could go to like, I think they tried to do like virtual conferences like that before, like a real long time ago, not the same website, but kind of the same idea. And you could go and like sit at this amphitheater, but then they would play the video would play, but you'd like sit down at this little outdoor screen type thing. Like you'd do. That sounds cool. All right. Well, so all right. On the level of Scott's technology ladder, low hanging fruit, I forgot the other two. What would you say? This one would take a little time to get used to. You have to
play around with it. This is like probably a 4 to 6 foot ladder.
Okay.
Because of the time you have to invest. Now, I will say they made it pretty intuitive. And, oh, by the way, it's a teacher's favorite F word, free.
Nice.
And so right now, like everything is at the beginning. And it hasn't been really glitchy for me at all. You can act, John, one of the cool things is I implanted a music player. And it's this like three-dimensional like sphere with mm-hmm. a play button above it, and the further in the room you get away from that, the lower the sound. The closer you get to it in the room, the louder the music is playing for you. So I mean, this was like when I first started playing this, I couldn't stop. I think I was up till like 2 a.m. like messing around with this thing and just like, oh my gosh, this is so awesome. And I'm like texting friends, I'm like, have you seen this, this is crazy, and like recording screen videos of things. And of course the next day I like invited my kids to try it out, and they're like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. And then they do the next thing, I want to make my own.
Right.
So then I'm thinking like, John, I could use this frame vr.io as their digital portfolio. Mm-hmm. Or as their open house at the end of the year where they display some of the things they learned or
videos cool.
or whatever. Like, and then it kind of starts, you kind of start spinning out of control on like, oh, I can use it for this. I can use it for this. And then you start to see the possibilities of it, which is, it's really cool.
That's cool. Well, I mean, we've always been kind of waiting for VR to take a hold a little bit. I mean, how long have they been promising that like VR is going to be the thing, like since like 2011? It's been a while now. It's been a while. Yeah. So that's cool. All right. Well, that sounds good. I'm going to try that for sure. I saw it and I was like, oh, that looks pretty cool. I just wanted to hear how you were using it. That sounds awesome.
I think there's multiple uses between you as the teacher and as the students. Now, I looked slightly into like their privacy. So look deeper into their privacy. We have waivers in our district. And the parents can opt in or opt out of different mm-hmm. tools and things like that. So make sure that you're, you know, if you're doing that, make sure you're getting your parents to opt in on them, the kids actually using that and putting information in. The only use that they came in was kind of like they would on any other device. They didn't have to put any like specific or information about themselves to join my virtual classroom that I created and kind of experience it for that first time.
That's cool. Okay. That sounds good. I know the privacy word, what every district is scared to death of for some reason, right. Just not trying anything to go. Well, I'm going to do my good thing, but I'm going to make my good thing really short then in the interest of time. But I'm just going to say that what I'm going to try and do this year, I was trying to try and do something new. I had some students that, you know, it's like virtual clubs or whatever, right? So I was like, what would you like for a virtual club? Because we were trying to get Minecraft, speaking of privacy, Minecraft EDU, by the way, Scott, which was approved last year, and I used it to resounding success with middle schoolers, but now on their Chromebooks, and now you can use it on the Chromebook, so I don't even need it in the computer lab, and they've taken it away during the pandemic because they don't want kids to go on Minecraft. And so I was like, why am I having to reapply? I had this last year. So they're not letting me use Minecraft EDU on Chromebooks. They've squashed it all. So now I'm going to have to try I'll let you know how it goes. Cause I'm going to try my loop-de-doo, workaround and see if I'm like, we're just trying to use it for a club after school and have kids build together. Right. And do some of the activities and show them a little bit more of the educational version. So I'll let you know how that goes. I'm going to go to my old boss and see if I can do a little round the way okey-doke and get approval for just my school. But it's been kiboshed. My principal just told me the day right before the last day, which I think is interesting. But so in light of that not being able to do that, I'm going to start the Creative Writing Club. And I think that I have a group of students that just really want to write and do some extra writing. And I think all it will require me to do is have the time on Thursday, put them in a Zoom, put them in a break, or I might even just keep them all in the same room and then just let them bounce ideas off each other and maybe even just get out of their way and just shut down my camera, but listen. And then I think when they're done, I think I'm just going to look for cool ways for them to publish if they want to publish, you know, like maybe build a website, maybe use Book Creator, maybe, you know, whatever they want to do. Maybe they want to do something different. Maybe they want to make a movie out of their story or whatever. And so I'm just going to sit back, let them do their writing and see if they just, and maybe they just want to like just publish it out there and maybe I help them create their own blog. Who knows? I don't know, but I'm just going to be not very overbearing with it and just let them start writing because that's what a bunch of them want to do. So there you go. Oh, Scott Bedley, what is your good thing?
John, I don't know how all of us that are here in 2021, sitting wherever we're sitting, listening, talking, whatever it is that we're doing, can't help but be thankful that we're alive. And having had like a little bit of a health scare myself this last week, I can't help but just be thankful that we're still walking through this path of this craziness that is COVID, but we're here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and the sadness of the loss that's out there and that's happened out there, I just want to choose to like focus on the fact that we've had a chance to survived this to this point and do what we can to have an impact.
Yes. I think every day it gets sad for me, because not to put down on your good thing, but it's like, even when I went on Twitter for 2 seconds, I saw that just now that Tanya Roberts, one of the old Charlie's Angels, if you're an older person like we are, passed away. And I remember her from Charlie's Angels, and she was in like a James Bond movie. I like Tanya Roberts. I always thought she was cool, and she was only 65, and they said that, I mean, they don't know yet what she passed away from, but she was walking her dog and then had to be put on a respirator. And so when I think of respirators, I just think of COVID-19. So I just think they're not really releasing it. And then like Larry King is in the hospital in your neck of the woods, Scott. And I just think, I mean, it's just sad that, I mean, all these people are somebody's grandparent, you know? Yeah. And I heard the story the other day of, there was a teacher at El Paso. She was 35, and she had released some video that went, I didn't see it, but she had released some video of something that went viral 2 years ago, where the kids were just like hugging each other and on the way out and whatever. And she was like 33 at that time, and now she's 35, and she's no longer with us trying to, you know, teach in Texas, where it's tough. And I have a bunch of friends in Texas. So it kind of brings me to my next little, here comes my rant. I was reading a tweet kind of at the same time. I don't think I follow this person, but there's a lot of people that are going to be called to go back like tomorrow for the beginning of the school year. Like they're like, they could be full-time, they could be hybrid. We're still not here, but the governor of Oregon yanked away pretty much all the protocols she had set in place on December 23rd. She yanked away every protocol and just said, oh, we're just leaving it up for districts now. Kind of chickened out, kind of a 180. I was kind of proud of her for protecting the teachers.
Yeah.
There's new stuff that comes in every day. Portland Public Schools, who's kind of a front runner for Oregon schools, and everybody else kind of follows suit, flat out just said that they are not going to go back to school until their teachers have gotten the vaccine. So I thought that was nice. And I am hoping that our district and my wife's district follow suit. But so there's a teacher. So some of us are not that fortunate. We're depending on what state we live in. So there's a teacher. She'd been teaching for 18 years, and she's pregnant. She's going to have her child in June or July. And so she, on Twitter, she just said, I can't do this. The stress has gotten to me. I have I'm with child. I'm quitting. I'm resigning immediately. I'm not going to go back with the stress. And she put that in, and it got a lot of kickback. And then some people said, well, what are you going to do? And she's like, I haven't figured it out, but I think I've been a consultant for some educational stuff. I've made some, you know, she's been a teacher for 18 years. So she's got some
skills. To be like a high risk pregnancy too.
Right. I would think, I mean, even for us that started early, I mean, that means I would have been like 41, 80, 18 years in. And I started when I was like 23. Right. So she's right. So I think she's totally justified. I can't say I wouldn't want her to do the same. So anyway, she said, I've done some work and consulted, and maybe I'll blog and see if that works. And I just thought the problem was that, like, people are like, oh, how do you do that? Can I do that? And they were kind of like missing her complete message that after 18 years of teaching, she's just going to quit in the middle of the year. And they were just kind of like, there's this thing on Twitter. I don't even know how to say it, because that's why I'm stuttering. But it's just like, there's this thing where Twitter has kind of shifted from when you and I first got on, where it's like all these people are so thirsty and so hungry to like not teach, but be bloggers and speakers and whatever. And they're missing her message. She has 18 years of experience. She can probably write curriculum. I'm sure she can. She can probably blog with good experience. She's been in almost 2 decades of a teacher. But then all these people are just going, oh, well, how do you do that? Can you give me some tips on how to do that? And I'm like, she just said she's quitting and she's pregnant. And all you're trying to do is like thirst for doing the same type of thing and seeing if you can quit too. And I just thought, you're really missing the point. And I think that that's the problem for me with educational Twitter nowadays. And I just wanted to say that to people, if you are that thirsty for being a blogger or whatever, then find your own thing and do it. It doesn't come naturally. It's not easy, but get some experience teaching before you're like so thirsty for, you know, making money on teachers pay teachers and stuff like that. Actually create a product that's worth something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And by the way, you know, go into podcasting like all the other edufamous people are doing.
Yeah, go into podcasting. I mean, right? I mean, go into podcasting and see if you can make it. That's a once kind of open landscape when Scott and I first started. Now a completely saturated market, you know? I mean.
Oh, gosh, John. I was looking at all the education podcasts. I'm like, oh, he's got a podcast now? Yeah. Oh, she's got a podcast now?
Yeah.
Oh, they got a podcast? And it was great, you know. I'm sure they have tons of listeners. But I get what you're saying, John, is like Twitter in the beginning, like back in the day, was about trying to connect with like-minded people, people that were pushing boundaries, people that were trying something different, people that, you know, were stuck in a building all alone, trying to do something unique. And they needed another person to connect with that was in their own building, trying to do something special and unique in education. And Twitter became that platform to connect and to share ideas and to lift each other up and try new things. And it's completely shifted to this, how do I self-promote and how do I push my, you know, post-it messages out there?
Yeah.
How do I make me famous? Instead of how do I connect with other like-minded people so we can make us all better?
Right. We're not trying to make education better anymore. We're trying to find our own way to just make a money grab for ourselves and try and write the next book and do all those different things. Here, Scott, I'm going to write the book on post-it notes and I'm going to keep them around me. And then when I have an idea, I'm going to write it down on the post-it note. But then I'm going to keep working. But when I go back, I can look at the idea and maybe I can put it into action, you know? Like, really? That's a thing. Yeah.
Listen to the last episode if you don't know what we're talking about.
Right. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Please listen. Yeah. We've only done 3 or 4 episodes, so you can listen back. We're trying to keep them short. And I do want to thank the people as we go through this. There have been many good friends that I've made, Scott Bedley being one of them on Twitter, but also Tony Vincent gave us a little message and said, thanks for starting back up Techlandia/Grumpy Old Teachers, which we're just going to call Grumpy Old Teachers, I've decided from now on. But Jake Duncan, very happy that we've been on there. We've had some people that have been, you know, giving me little DMs here and there. I appreciate that. I appreciate the person that will actually direct message you on Twitter and not have to do it over the thing for credit. You don't have to do it out in public for everyone to see. Just say something kind to someone privately for no credit. I think those days are becoming fewer and farther between, but not for some people. Some people still operate that way, I think. And I think that's good.
Christina Luce, we can't not mention her. And as much as those people try to keep private, we will shout your names because we know you are doing things the right way and trying to impact education positively.
Yeah, I think that's how, when we used to do this, that's how we started on the Bedley Brothers. You interviewed people that were really trying to make a change. And then slowly as you go on, you realize that people are just, maybe some of them are trying to kind of say what you want to hear so that they can get on your show and promote a little bit more because there aren't as many podcasts or whatever. But you're right. I mean, I think that you interviewed people. And shout out to Tim Bedley and his pine needle diet for for interviewing you and Scott. And Scott and Tim interview people so much. And I think that you guys got such good people on there. And I think when I was on Twitter, I just used to look for people at conferences that I thought were sincere. And most of them were sincere. Some of them were completely insincere. And then after you do the show, you feel kind of dirty. You know, yeah. I feel like that. I've seen some people say that too lately too, where they say, "I like when people." Oh, I think it was Dean Chiresky actually said, "Why do people? You know, why do people connect with me on LinkedIn and then try and sell me something right away, you know, with a DM afterwards? It feels kind of sleazy without even knowing me then, you know? And I'm like, right, that does kind of,
it does. It's like an auto response.
Right. Here, I got somebody else to connect with me. Here, let me, you know, I don't know. I've thought about going to LinkedIn a little bit. Maybe we should post a Techlandia. I'll post one on LinkedIn and see if anybody listens from LinkedIn.
Anyway. Yeah, why not?
Yeah. Anyway, hey, do you have any good things that you've been found over the break? Like any pop culture stuff? I have my pop culture thing in the notes, but do you have a pop culture thing that you've been doing? Any good music you've been listening to lately or anything?
No, I mean, my favorite thing from the break, John, is I got one of the new Alexas that looks like a magic eight ball.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
I just love the sound out of that thing. It's not very expensive. If you already have an Alexa, you can actually trade it in and get a discount off of the price, like $20 or $30. I don't know exactly how much it is, but the bass in that's much better than the regular Alexas, the like cylindrical one. Mm-hmm. So this like spherical one is just, I'm like infatuated with the sound quality for the cost, and that it still has all the Alexa features in it. And I'm sure my Alexa is going crazy right now as I'm saying over and over.
That's cool. Right. And remember, we'll put a link in because Jeff Bezos really needs the money that from our promotion, right? Yeah, that's pretty cool. Well, so here's what I did. I think you might've talked me into that one. So one of the things that I did was once, I haven't watched it though. Isn't that funny? Over break, I didn't watch it. I really wanted to see Wonder Woman 1984.
I turned it off after 20 minutes, John. I turned it off after 20 minutes.
Oh, really? So anyway, I'd heard some things. I was trying to not pay attention, but I subscribed to HBO Max. I figured 6 months might get me close to like when I get the vaccine. I don't know. So anyway, I've been watching HBO Max and I just have such laugh out loud, especially since I've taken The Office off of Netflix. That was always my escape, but now my escape is definitely Curb Your Enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. I love Larry David. He's who we pattern ourselves after. If Larry David was a teacher, that's what we patterned grumpy old teachers after, is Larry David.
Really?
No, I don't know. But he's just, I just think that show is just so funny and so clever. Yeah. I mean, just like I thought Seinfeld was clever and just those little circular arcs that it does with things. And I mean, basically doing I started with that season where he basically did the Seinfeld reunion, but he didn't really do the Seinfeld reunion. You know, he did them trying to like make the fake Seinfeld reunion, but he was really doing it on there. And Jerry and George were all on there, and his ex-wife, Larry David's ex-wife, fell in love with George, and Larry David got mad, and he's like, "That's me, I'm George." I just thought it was so
stanza.
So yeah, can't stand you. So anyway, I really appreciate HBO and just getting maybe sometimes your happiness is just like you splurge $12.99 for the month and watch some new things and get rid of some stuff. My son actually came in and checked on me because I was laughing so hard out loud at the Curb Your Enthusiasm. So that's how I know that's kind of priceless in this era that we live in right now. So anyway. Well,
and John, I've actually used HBO Max, mm-hmm. not that they're a sponsor yet, but I've actually used them, or Amazon. I've actually used them to teach my son about good cartoons because they have all the Looney Tunes. All the original mm-hmm. like Looney Tunes, like all those seasons, duck season, rabbit season. No, it's duck season. No, it's duck season. No, it's rabbit. Like it's all of that goodness. Man, humor is still really fresh on there. I know you're talking about something that's more adult-like, but if you have kids and you want to show them some classics, there's some good old Looney Tunes on there.
So it brings me up to something, and then we can head out into the night for next week. But so I used to be a huge fan of Saturday morning cartoons and getting up and watching like the Bugs Bunny Roadrunner show, right? Yeah. And I think it was like, I think it might have even been like an hour and a half. It might have been like 8 to 9:30 where I lived, or 9:30 to 11. And they would just do all those ones, right? Like the frog singing, you know, all those good ones, right? Then
the Martian.
Yeah, it was great. And so in 1976, they took me out of class, and I didn't know that my parents were always like experimenting on me for some reason. They would always like sign me up for weird things. They didn't care as long as they didn't have to watch me, I think. So they signed me up for this thing where they took me out of school and I would go up to a room and they would make me watch the Bugs Bunny Roadrunner show. And I was like, what is this? In 1993, when I was graduating from college, they called me back all those years later. It might have been 1992 because it might have been like a 25-year thing or something, or like a 15-year thing or something. And they called me back, paid me like $300 to go into the University of Illinois Chicago, and I didn't know that they were doing a study. And so they would ask me questions. They'd be like, "Okay, so have you ever been arrested? Have you ever drank a beer, shotgun a beer, or something?" I don't even know. But they asked me a whole bunch of questions, like if the cartoon watching, and they did some long term study on me, where was Bugs Bunny Roadrunner really affecting my, you know, giving me violent thoughts or whatever. But they were asking a lot of personal questions that you had, but I didn't care at that point because I think they paid me $300 I went in, which when you're in college was in 1993 was a lot of money.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't know. I never knew that they, I said, "Can I see the results?" And I don't know if they ever sent me the results, but I don't know. Maybe I should look that up now. We do have the internet, so.
They're like, "You know the results. You gave us all the answers."
That's right. Have I ever been convicted? Yes. Have I ever shotgunned a beer? Yes. No, I'm just kidding. I've not been convicted. I've had my background checked. Just kidding. Anyway, well, that's, yeah, so I thought that's interesting. But yeah, I do love the classic cartoons. What do you think about them bringing back the Animaniacs too? Have you seen those?
Yeah. I never, you know, that was kind of like in a weird zone for me. I kind of missed Animaniacs, although they do have a good, like, song about the like countries of the world or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'd say I'm all for trying to bring back stuff that's good.
Yeah, I watched the first episode of Animaniacs. I think it's on Hulu. Another one, we can go for another sponsor: HBO, Hulu, and Amazon. But yeah, I watched it. It was kind of funny. I always liked Pinky and the Brain. So I don't know, and that would have probably been about that same time. Like Animaniacs, right, they're a little bit older, so it would have been like 93, 92-ish, I think. So I would have been maybe a little bit too old. But I do remember watching it with some people. There are some people I knew that still watched it. I hung around with younger kids, I guess. I hung around with like 19, 20-year-olds, I guess, when I was 23. I don't know.
I know they're bringing it back a lot. I mean, that Cobra Kai show is like – getting a lot of rave reviews.
So. Cobra Kai, I quit watching it, but I did every, I don't know why I quit watching it. It's one of those things, but I really enjoyed it when I watched it. I thought it was clever. You know, it's kind of predictable, but it's kind of like the bowl of Honey Nut Cheerios that you need. You know what I'm saying? In these times, I think so.
Well, we fully digressed now, right, John?
Yeah, we have. Anyway, Scott, thank you for being on. Appreciate you. We will see you next Sunday. Same time, same bat channel. Any words of wisdom for us?
John, it's playoff weekend.
Oh, that's right. Is it playoff weekend next weekend?
Yeah, well, I think so. Wild card weekend next weekend.
Oh, well, I can't wait for the Bears to just get crushed. That'll be awesome. do you have any parting words of wisdom for us?
I think just, you know, enjoy and celebrate. It's easy to focus on all the stresses and worries and negatives that we're facing in education right now. But as my dad would say, as he would take from other places, is this too shall pass. And, you know, I mean, they talk about months, and even if it was 9 months, just think in the realm of all of it, we'll be done with it. We'll move on. We'll be able to get back, and hopefully we'll appreciate the things that, we maybe started to take for granted, or maybe we really started to take for granted over the last few decades, if not many decades.
Thanks. You know what? To old listeners of Techlandia, that would be the part where I would usually pass that to Allison Anderson, and then she would say, "Nothing. I've got nothing for you." But look at Scott already. He's picked up the torch, and he just carried it right over the goal line right there with actual words of wisdom.
I mean, I got nothing.
Allison would just be like, "I got nothing for you." I'd be like, "Thanks, Allison. You've got nothing." That was good. Yeah, I think I totally agree. And I don't know. We'll keep podcasting. We'll stick together here, and let's make 2021 might not be good right off the bat, but let's see where it goes. Let's be optimistic, right?
We miss you, Allison.
We do. We miss you, Allison. Kurt would like to come on the show sometime too. Maybe we'll do, maybe we'll start having people on the show here pretty soon. 2021, we'll have somebody on the show for sure.
We miss you, Kurt.
We miss you, Tim Bedley. All right, everybody. Grumpy Old Teachers signing off. We'll see you next time.